1 week from Thanksgiving. That's what it is.
That's exactly right. And this is your swan song, Wendy. If I was a swan and had a song, I would sing it about you because this is your this is your last appearance before Thanksgiving. You're not coming in tomorrow. You refuse to come in Monday.
Well, no, that's
Tuesday. You're not coming in. Wednesday.
You're not in Tuesday or Wednesday.
Doesn't matter. That doesn't matter.
This is where you can shine and rise above me because
How
we
so?
Have the same amount of days to take off. You're just not taking
them. I don't take them.
You're dumb.
I'm a company man. I work for the company.
Maybe I should change that.
What's that mean? What are you implying?
I'm saddened by something.
You just, for those of you not in the studio, so that's everybody listening with the exception of me, this is what I just heard a moment ago. Oh, no. And then you were looking at your phone and you said.
And you said, what's wrong? And I said, a death.
A celebrity death.
And then you very flippantly said.
I knew who it was.
Roy Clark. Yeah. And I said, yes.
Yes.
Do you remember when he was on The Odd Couple?
He was?
Felix, I'm sorry that I messed up your audition.
No, that's all right.
I don't know what comes out. I just have to do it my way.
Of course. Listen, now for me. Play some Bach on the guitar.
No more Bach. Will you play my favorite Mountain Dew?
No. Play a nice classical thing, please.
I don't want to hear anything classical. I want to hear
Mountain Dew.
Wait. Could I do something for myself?
He's entitled.
He was a great guitar player.
Guitar or banjo?
Guitar. And that's the thing. He was known just from his crazy
hee-haw
antics.
Did he ever play
antics?
The banjo? Or was it always a guitar?
Sure, he played banjo.
Yeah.
But listen to this guitar work.
It's pretty good.
He's got Felix and Oscar wowed.
That wasn't easy to do.
I think he starts finger-picking, but I'm really saddened.
Yeah. Yep. Now, you just said that silly hee-haw.
I loved that show, Bill. I swear to God.
Yeah.
I know that we didn't have a lot of shows to choose from back then. I loved it.
So hee-haw, for people who don't know, came before Saturday Night Live, and it was a country. It was a countrified version of Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In. They really took Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In and used that as a base, but made it a lot more rural.
Rural? You're even saying it like rural. Blake Shelton would have loved to have been on that show.
Yes, he would have.
And they had all the country western stars that would pop in and pop out.
All your big celebrities did their time on Hee Haw. Let's see how many cast members you can remember from Hee Haw, Wendy.
Grandpa.
Grandpa Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep going.
Minnie Pearl.
Minnie Pearl.
Hattie.
Yep. Always forgot to take the tag off of her hat.
That hound dog.
The hound dog.
The bloodhound.
Who?
There was a dog that they always had there, the twin brothers.
That would be the Hager twins. John Hager and John Hager.
Okay, John and John?
Yeah. Parents were not as creative.
And they're from the South.
I didn't say that.
I didn't really either.
I didn't say that. The Hager twins were on there. Let us not forget Junior Samples.
Buck Owens.
Buck Owens was certainly one of the hosts.
Charlie Weaver.
I don't think Charlie Weaver was a regular on there.
He wasn't?
No. You're missing the delightful Lulu Roman.
Was that the cute blonde girl?
No, that was Misty Rowe.
All right, you freak me out.
Yeah.
How do you
know? I remember
a
lot of them.
She Mike Rowe's sister or mother? It was older.
No, she was not related to them. She later went on to play Maid Marian on the TV sitcom When Things Were Rotten. That was the Robin Hood send-up from Mel Brooks. Misty Rowe. Is her name. I think we've named all the regulars, I think. Lulu Roman was the slightly larger woman on the show. Now, do you know who I mean? She always looked like she had been crying. when I know she hadn't been.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about.
For some reason, the way her makeup was applied looked like Lulu had been crying earlier.
She looked like a Lulu. She had her hair, it was up, kind of. Did she have a tiny little hat?
What does that mean? She looked like a Lulu. What does that mean?
She looked like she fit her name. It really fit her.
All right.
Like Minnie Pearl looked like she was called Minnie Pearl. Right. Buck Owens looked like a Buck Owens.
So if there was a lineup of women and I said, please select the Lulu, here's 50 women, which one's the Lulu? You would say, well, it's her. It's Lulu Roman. She looks like the Lulu.
She looked like a Lulu.
Yeah. All right. I can accept that. Yeah.
It was a pretty great show.
Was it ever on the network? I always remember it being syndicated.
I don't know if I knew what that meant.
All right, so if something ran on the network, it ran at the time because Fox wasn't a network yet on 2, 5, or 7 on CBS, NBC, or ABC. But if it was a syndicated show, they would sell it market by market. You know, they would sell it in each town individually. Now, here's a little fun fact about the show for me. For some reason, my grandfather was big into photography. This is my mom's father. Took pictures all the time. Whenever you went to his house, he had just stacks and stacks and stacks of books that were filled with pictures he had taken. It's all, you never saw him without a camera in his hand. He had 3 albums full of still shots from Hee Haw. So he would stand in front of the television set when Hee Haw was on and take pictures of episodes.
I thought he was in Nashville or something.
No, he just did it in his living room. Aww. He took photos of Hee Haw. And then he also did the same thing with the David Letterman show. And I would ask him why he chose those two. And he said, well, because I like Hee Haw a lot. And I don't really care for David Letterman show. And I go, why are you photographing it? And he'd say, for contrast. I have no idea what that meant.
Well, he was an artist.
Isn't it? It's odd enough to have one photo album of still shots of Hee Haw cast members, but to have, he had like 3 of Hee Haw and 3 of David Letterman, but wouldn't you almost consider that a waste of time? Like you could tell somebody, I watched Hee Haw, you wouldn't have to prove it to them.
Well,
it was very strange.
He enjoyed it so much that he wanted to memorialize his viewings.
He would sometimes sit and he would say, now this is from 3 weeks. So he would turn back a page or two. This is from 3 weeks ago. And then you'd see, you know, Loretta Lynn would be on the stage and Buck Owens would be like, you could tell he was mid-clap. He was clapping for her. And we'd all just look at it and go, that's fantastic. But we, you know, it was lost on us.
Why do you
He also had, I think I've told you this, I know I've told you this, he had a lot of pictures of people who had died. Like it was a big thing in my mom's family, and this is like a European thing from years and years ago, for people who could not attend the service, somebody would take a couple pictures of the person who had died in the coffin.
Much like the Inquirer putting Elvis on
the
cover?
Yeah, like that, except the difference is I didn't know Elvis, but I knew Uncle Andrew. Like, you'd be paging through photographs, and you go, oh, look, you went to Indiana, that was fun. Oh, look, you had some people visit, that was fun. Ah! You'd scream, because then there'd be a page full of a dead guy in a casket.
That is really a genius move, because if you were out of town and couldn't attend a funeral, you would miss that at the wake.
Right. That's why it originally came to be.
I think your grandfather originated that, because
No, it was like a big European thing. Yeah.
Imagine if cell phone... Well, now, do people take pictures?
Selfies of the dead guy? I hope not. Whoa.
Like with a thumbs up by,
Look, I took a deady. You can take a look at it. Oh, yeah, that guy's dead. Sorry I missed the service.
Karma's a bitch. Can I just say that? All right, you mentioned Loretta Lynn. She was on Hee Haw as a guest.
Yeah.
Charlie Pride
was
amazing. Sammy Davis Jr.
He'd show up on Hee Haw. I don't remember him on Hee Haw.
Yeah, Roy Clark invited him.
But all of these are just like one time.
Yeah, but still,
hosts.
These are pretty big names. Oh, Oral Roberts, Hugh Hefner, Orville Redenbacher, Regis Philbin, Richard Petty, Louis Nye.
Louis Nye. That's an interesting. I wonder what happened that week when they went, you know who we have not had on is Louis Nye. Let's call him.
Ernest Borgnine was on.
Borgnine.
Minnesota Fats. Rip Taylor.
I swear to you.
Star-studded.
All right. Wendy, I'm not making this up. On Monday, out of nowhere, I said in my head,
no.
I wonder where Rip Taylor is. We should find him and have him on. I haven't seen Rip Taylor in 20 years. Have you?
No.
We should really... Jazz, can you call Rip Taylor and ask him to come on?
He'll probably take our...
He's not in great demand right now. Boy, he'd be in his 80s.
100s.
Would he be 100?
Probably.
But I'd love to talk to Rip Taylor. Remember he would say for no reason at all, like he'd be on The Tonight Show and he'd be doing his bit and the people would laugh and he would just stare, he'd glare at him and he'd go, I'm going to smack you in a minute.
Yeah, yes.
For no reason. That was funny.
All right, so Rip Taylor was on Hee Haw. These are just guests that showed up.
Yeah.
Vic Damone, Tommy Lasorda.
Tommy Lasorda was on it.
Paul Williams. Paul Williams was on everything.
Yeah.
We could probably book Paul Williams in a second.
He would show up and he would always sing You and Me Against the World.
I don't know that.
Paul Williams. You don't remember that song? Jazz, see if you can find that on the YouTube. It's Paul Williams singing You and Me Against the World. And it would always be, he would always look, much like Lulu Roman, he would look like he was about to cry or had just cried when he would sing You and Me. Like, you know how when you're singing... I can't say this about everybody, but we just had two people here from Avenue Q. When you sing in a room, like I would want to make eye contact with people, but people normally don't. So Paul Williams would be on TV and he wouldn't be looking at the camera.
That's weird.
Yeah, look at the camera, right? He'd be looking off to the side singing You and Me Against the World, about to just bust into tears.
Did you find the song, Jazz?
You'll recognize this. Sure. So if this is terrible, just shoot me.
You and Me Against the World, sometimes it seems like You and Me. Well, here, I'll get a little professional sing it. Listen. Now, do you remember it?
Yeah.
Yep.
God, I would have won on Name That Tune.
You would have got it just based on this? That's pretty good.
You and me against the world.
Oh.
Yes, I remember.
That's how people talked back then.
Stop. It was pre-Harry Tynowitz.
Yep.
When all the others turn their back and walk away.
Yeah.
This was either written, and I'm just guessing, this was either written by Burt Bacharach and Hal David, or who else would have written this? Does it say who wrote it, Jazz? Anthony Newley might have also written it.
I loved him.
But it has the same kind of 70s beat that everything Anthony Newley ever wrote, or most of what Burt Bacharach and Hal David wrote, sound just like this.
Someone who was big and strong.
Helen Reddy sang this.
Yeah.
That's who I know it by.
But she didn't... When
this
she's
terrible.
Wendy. That's
what? You were so parental
so
there.
Hurtful.
Wendy, you're what grounded.
What if Paul Williams is listening to the show right now and he hears you say that? Rip Taylor won't do the show now.
I don't care.
Chaz, when you get Rip Taylor, ask him, tell him we want to talk to him, and we also want him to sing You and Me Against the World.
No, I'll leave.
I'm going to smack you in a minute. He would say that for no reason at all. And I was a little kid going, an adult is just going to smack the audience for no reason. This is comedy gold.
Rip Taylor was on Hee Haw, Paul Williams, Billy Barty, Scatman Crothers, Ed McMahon, Oscar the Grouch, Ray Charles, Dennis Weaver, Paul Anka, young men.
Do you know what you're reading right now? My dream birthday party list.
Ethel Merman.
Oh.
Foster Brooks.
Oh.
Senator Robert Byrd.
Well, yeah, of course.
Johnny Bench. Billy Carter, George Gobel, Terry Bradshaw, Dizzy Dean, and Mickey Mantle. They all showed up on Hee Haw. It was so popular.
That's the most impressive list of dignitaries I've ever heard in my life.
Laughing didn't get all those people.
If you said to me, you pick which room you want to spend time in, the room you just described or the room that has like the Super Friends in it, I would have to go with the first one.
Who'd go with the Super Friends?
You got Batman, Robin, Wonder Woman, Aquaman.
I don't want to hang
Hawk
with them.
Man. The Atom.
I would feel so diminutive in that room.
Well, because they all have superpowers.
I know.
But with the Hee Haw room, you got a little bit of everything. You had baseball players. You had...
Comics. Singers.
What was the other common thread? There was some other weird thread that... Well, some politicians were in there. Senator Byrd. Why did they have him on?
I don't know. I just could
like
have
one week they'd have Rip Taylor on, and then the next week they'd go, we got to get Senator Byrd on. We just had Rip Taylor on. We got to get Senator Byrd to be on with us.
He came for the moonshine. Stayed for the pork and beans.
So they would do, because everything they did on the show was derivative of what they did on Rowan and Martin's Laughing. On Rowan and Martin's Laughing, they had that giant wall with doors that would open up, and then Ruth Busby would pop her head out and say something funny, and then she'd climb back in, and then Judy Carn would do the same thing. On Hee Haw, they did that out in a field of corn. Remember, they were right. All, like, they would just pop up.
Behind bales. They were hiding behind bales of hay or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they did it.
But why? Like, what?
Because they were on a farm.
It's just so, everything about the show, and maybe I'm too analytical, but I would just go, I have no idea who thought of that. Why would they? I mean, I didn't even get on laughing when they would open up part of the wall, because that wasn't very realistic.
Yeah, I don't.
Who could ever have a house where, like, Artie Johnson would just pop out of a wall and say something funny? That wouldn't happen.
Why do you have to be such a realist?
I'm just trying to figure it out.
Because Hee Haw, I didn't take for reality. I just thought...
No, but you know how, like, if you're writing something, you have to justify it to the other people in the room. Like, somebody would go, I don't understand. Why are they standing behind bales of hay in a field of corn? You go, oh, that's what people do in the South. That's all it would take for them to go, oh, yeah, all right, then let's do it.
Critics reamed it, but the American people loved it. Loved it.
I know.
Where, oh, where are you tonight? Yep. Why must I leave you here all alone?
What I would give to hear the Chicago Symphony Orchestra play that.
I searched the world over and thought I found true love. You met another and pfft, you was gone.
I believe the only TV song in history to use the word pfft in it.
How do you spell that?
It's not easy to spell. It's so impossible to spell.
Well, I am sad that Roy Clark has left us.
We're all sad, Wendy. This is it's an eye-opener.
Unbelievable musician, all-around nice guy, it sure seemed. Legend.
Yeah.
Definitely. Dead at the age of 85.
Very sad. This has been our tribute to Roy Clark. Transcripts are available through Burrell Transcripts. If you're interested, please order now. We'll take a quick break. We'll see how this news affects the marketplace. I'm guessing the markets are down today. We'll see. Judy's got the news, and then there's more shows.
Farmers markets.
Right. It's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
Thank you, Jude.
Judy
you
has
welcome.
To leave.
I got to go do some
Judy
news.
Judy has to go do news.
Have fun working with Bill tomorrow. Be nice to him because I'm not.
I'm looking forward to it, Judy. I can't wait.
I love working with
Bill.
It's
going to be fun.
You think I'm mean? Just wait till tomorrow.
Oh, no. I'm so nice to Bill.
I can't believe how nice Judy is when you're not here.
Have you and I ever worked together?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad it was memorable.
It must have been. Very memorable.
A couple times. I was just starstruck and I don't
right.
remember it.
Sure.
Yeah, we did a couple times back at the old place.
Oh, yeah, no, it's coming back.
Like
to
40
me.
Or 50 times.
No, it's only one or two times only. I've worked more with Bill. I love filling with Bill, so thank
it's
you.
It's so much fun.
You're welcome.
Thank you for allowing me in.
Makes
I will
for good
keep
show.
Your seat warm.
Yep.
I bet you will.
Yeah, you bet I will.
You'll also crawl over my corpse when I die with Rick Taylor.
You didn't ask how I'm going to keep your seat warm, but don't you worry about that. Everything
a
will be fine.
A giant heating pad. That's what it'll be.
Or Bengay.
Right, right.
Goodbye.
Bye, Jude. Wendy, has your dream, have you ever had a dream influenced by what you're doing that day? So, like, you carry over whatever you've done that day into your dream. Has that ever happened to you?
I'm sure it has. I can't think of any examples, but, you know, obviously that's your brain trying to work things out while you're sleeping.
Right, 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 right.
So it's very common, I would imagine.
You know, you would think so, but I've only had it happen a couple of times. Like every once in a while when I was a kid and I would fall asleep, I was fortunate enough to have a TV in my room. And I've told you this, I stay up late watching TV.
Because your nickname was Richie Rich.
We weren't rich by far. It wasn't even a good TV. It was a black and white Philco TV for most of it. And then toward the end, I got a color TV. And that's when I decided it's time to move out. I don't need
I've
this.
I've got my TV.
I have my TV.
That's all I need.
I put my time in.
I have a TV and some window coverings.
Right, 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 right. So sometimes my dream would be like things that I'd hear on the television would transform into my dream. You know, that's kind of
like
weird.
Like as you were falling asleep?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, yeah. But last night I had a dream based on what I did yesterday, and I'll explain. On Sunday night into Monday, we watched my nephew. This is my wife's younger sister's son, Ben.
What is he, like 21?
He's 9.
Oh. I don't know. It just sounded funny.
No, he's 9. He's just a little kid. So they wanted to go away for, it was my sister-in-law's birthday, so they went off for a romantic night out. And we took care of Ben. So at some point, because 9-year-olds love video games, and normally I love video games too, but I said to him, do you play regular games? Do you like board games and stuff? And he goes, you know what I love is I love jigsaw puzzles, right? So I said, you know, last year for Christmas, my daughters gave me a jigsaw puzzle that I've not opened. Let's build it, right? So this is Sunday night
Uncle
into Monday.
Uncle Beal, you're awesome.
Right? Well, I've wanted to build it, but the only person in my family that likes jigsaw puzzles other than me is Kylie, and she's in New York. And you can't do a puzzle over the phone. You can't say...
You can't even Skype it?
No, I bet you could. I bet you could. Yeah, so you would just scan all the puzzle pieces, and she'd go, not that one, not that one, that one. Try that one in the corner. Yeah. Like that. I guess you could. I guess you could.
It wouldn't be fun.
They got me a puzzle for Christmas last year that's 1,500 pieces. It's the largest puzzle, jigsaw puzzle I've ever done. I think so. Yeah, probably. It takes up the entire... It takes up not just the dining room table, but with the two leaves in the table, or leaves in the table.
Wow.
It takes up all that, you know, just separating all the pieces. So for the last several days, I said to my wife, I go, this will probably take 2 or 3 days. This was Sunday into Monday. I'm about a third of the way done now. But yesterday, I spent about 3 hours on the puzzle, maybe a little bit more than that. My dream last night, my entire dream, start to finish, was me working on that puzzle.
That's an exciting dream.
It was the worst dream I've ever had. The single most boring dream I've ever had. But I woke up just like laying in bed going, why did that happen? I spent way too much time working on the puzzle yesterday to dream about it.
I bet. I know, because it's a repetitive thing. It was, you know, you looking for a piece, putting a piece in. It was, because sometimes I've had dreams about Candy Crush, and you make fun of me for playing it.
And then you played it in your dream after playing it all day.
Yeah, but it's just kind of an unwind thing where you can shut your brain off.
Right.
And, you know, one could be criticized for just doing a puzzle, too, because what are you going to glean from that?
Well, Terry said when this puzzle is done,
what's it a picture of?
Well, you know how I just said the Super Friends? It's a picture of all the major players in the DC universe. Sad that I did this on the week that we lost Stan Lee, who headed up Marvel. But this particular puzzle is about 40 of the biggest names in the DC universe, all just standing next to each other, getting along. It's a puzzle about unity. It's all the bad guys and the good guys. The Joker's next to Batman. Brainiac is next to Superman. They're all kind of getting along. So it's very, very colorful. They're all done in the 1960s style, which is my favorite of the artwork of comic books is in the 60s. I don't know where my daughters found this puzzle, but it couldn't have been a better gift for me. But boy, did I put my time in on it yesterday. And can I tell you, I learned something very valuable. When you're a kid and you do a puzzle, it's great. But when you're an adult and you do a puzzle, it really messes with your back, because you're sitting for a while, then you're standing, then you're moving, then you're walking, you're looking, you're comparing, you're down, you're up.
We're getting older and stiffer. I'm sorry, we are.
I play sports all the time. It doesn't affect my back.
Because you're moving. This is like you're kind of staying still in the same position for a while, and then when you move, you're like, you'd see on TV shows, there'd be old people, and they'd go, my back.
Yeah.
I've done it.
From real life now.
I've done it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I recommend get your puzzle doing out of the way when you're young, because yesterday was a very painful day. And boy, did I put my time in. I used to feel, back when I had a job that was more, I mean, this job, we're fortunate in that it's only a few hours a day, but I've had jobs that have been all day jobs. And then there have been times after working a full shift, when I managed the video store, I had a 12-hour shift a couple days a week. I opened the store and closed the store from 9 to 9. That's 12 hours of work. And then I'd go home, and my dream would be me still working at the video store for another shift. That's the worst thing you could dream after putting in a day of work, is that you're dreaming about the job.
Yeah, but, I mean, your brain is just kind of processing it.
Yeah, I guess.
You're decompressing. You're rebooting.
Yeah.
And you're not even Canadian.
No, I'm not Canadian.
So, DC Comics Retro, is it 3,000 pieces?
No, it's 1,500 pieces. The artwork is stunning. All right. It really makes you realize that there's a lot of shades of blue.
Because there's a DC Comics Retro Cast 3,000-piece puzzle.
No, I've never seen a 3,000-piece puzzle. Honestly, Terry thinks I'm a doof for doing this one, because she said to me, she goes, what are you going to do when you're done with the puzzle? And I go, well, then you take the pieces and you put them back in the box. And she goes, why? And I go, well, that's what you do. I've seen people, like, they'll glue a puzzle to a poster board and put it up on their wall. No one's going to be amazed.
That's great decor.
No one's going to be amazed by that. Even if it's the most beautiful photo in the world, who's going to come in and go, wow, you did a puzzle. How about that?
That's cool when you're a single dude and you're in your like 20s. Well, even then, probably not.
When I was a kid, there was a room in our house that we used as kind of a playroom, and there was almost always a jigsaw puzzle on that table. I can't think of a time where we didn't have one going on the table. And my brother Adam did something that is really interesting to me. Whenever we would open up a puzzle, he would take one piece out and put it in his pocket. That way, no matter who worked on the puzzle, he was guaranteed he'd be the one who'd finish the puzzle because he had the last piece. But we never knew which piece it was, and we'd always ask him. We'd go, you didn't take one of the puzzle pieces, because there's one piece that it'd be so easy. It's just a red dot in the center. No, I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, because you did it with the last 300 puzzles we did. You didn't do it this time? No, I wouldn't do that. But then at the end, he'd always, wait a minute, I did. I found this yesterday, and he'd put the piece in.
Well, all right, first of all, I have to give him credit for outsmarting you.
Every time.
Second of all, I have to give Adam credit for not losing that stupid piece.
Right.
Because, I mean, you figure right. It would have been left in his pocket, and your mom washed
gone
his pants.
Gone to the wall. Yeah, no. He knew, no.
That is amazing.
He timed it out. No matter what puzzle it is, he would keep one piece. One time, can I air some dirty laundry?
Yes, Don Henley.
So in the summertime, my family would visit Delray Beach, Florida. We'd stay at the same hotel every year. So Adam would sometimes bring a puzzle, and we would, again, we were on vacation, so it wasn't a big puzzle. It wasn't a 1,500 piece, but it was like a 500
puzzles
piece.
Puzzles are fun. I'm sorry. They really are.
I have so been enthralled with this experience that I'm going to start doing more of them. I really enjoy it. I usually just do crossword puzzles, so this is like a whole different area.
I bet Terry's sorry she made fun of you, because had she not made fun of you, perhaps you would have moved on.
Right.
But now...
I have to prove something now.
I don't know what you're proving, but I get it.
So we're in Delray Beach, and we've got this puzzle going, and there's a piece we just cannot find. We do, you know how you move, you try it, mm-hmm. and it doesn't fit that way, you move it the other way, you can't do it. So my brother says to the maid at the hotel... How gutsy was this, and stupid at the same time? We know you took our puzzle piece. Give it back. And I say to him, she didn't take our puzzle piece. What would be in it for her? And he goes, well, sometimes people take one piece of a puzzle so that they can finish it. I go,
no, only
maids don't do that. You do. You're the only guy in the world that does that. But then that maid, she came to my mom, and she goes, I know your boys think I stole a puzzle piece. I wouldn't do that. I have a child at home. I know how much this means to them. I would never do that to a kid.
Did the piece ever surface?
No. I think when we opened it, it must have fallen out of the box, and you know, time passed, and it just got lost in the carpet or something. Remember, at my house, we had not just shag carpeting, Wendy.
It was like the Serengeti.
People would come to our house, and we don't know what happened to them. They would get lost in the shag carpeting.
So is the Serengeti a desert or a...
Serengeti's a plain.
Oh, I thought it was like a... I guess it was...
A Serengeti plain.
I was thinking of the jungle. I guess I get my jungles
and your plains mixed up?
And my deserts
mixed up. Oh.
Because how big was your it's not ply.
The shag carpeting?
Yeah. Was it honestly like 3 or 4 inches?
I would say, what is that, 3 inches?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was.
Didn't it get matted?
Oh, yeah. It really did. Yeah. My mom always had some solution. You know, there was some liquid chemical that she would pour into it. Like people now, I don't even know. Can you still get shag carpeting? I don't think you can even get it now.
Yeah, they have, but it's not like that. I mean, and this came
ridiculous.
With a rake.
Yeah.
My aunts had green stuff.
There was a rake.
You had
a
red, though.
Rake.
At least the green shag looked very earth-like because it was grass. Yours was red, wasn't it?
We had red through every house but one, every room in the house but one.
What about the walls?
Well, there were two walls that were carpeted.
Did you think your house was a Chevy van?
I can't for the life of me figure out why they thought that that was a good idea. But all I know is it was 1970. Stuff happened. You know,
Did she vacuum the walls?
Yeah.
The
walls
honest to
got
God.
Vacuumed. Yeah. And people would come over and marvel at it. Like they would stand and they would just look at it and there were no words to say that could sum it up, you know?
Unique would be one of them.
Unique is too kind of a word.
Cool. I bet it was cool.
Was it, though? I'm not sure it was.
I bet it was.
I'm not sure. It was one of the rooms. It was the accent wall in our living room.
The whole wall was carpeted?
The entire wall was carpeted.
Like to the ceiling?
Fire engine red. Yeah, floor to ceiling. The same color that was on the floor. It looked, you know, did you ever see when they do a photo shoot and they take that white paper and they make the wall and the floor one so it looks like infinity? So it was like infinity if infinity was red shag carpeting. And then when I was in high school and we did a room addition, my parents said, well, if you're going to have one wall carpeted, you got to have more walls carpeted. So the big wall in the new dining room was brown shag carpeting.
See, stuff sticks into the carpeting and dust, and, yep. And no one smoked in your house, right?
My dad did for a while. When
okay,
I was
so that
young.
Got in the...
He'd keep his cigarettes in the carpeting. He always, where are my Winstons? Oh, it's right there in the carpeting. Start smoking.
I bet it was a very cool, unique look, but it's something I think I would have grown tired of after a year.
Yeah. But we couldn't get rid of it because at some point, so for a long time... Again, the accent wall. It was explained to me because I didn't know about accent walls when I was six, but they said, we're going to go white walls, but one wall has to jump out and have a burst of color and shag carpeting. And that'll be here. So we kept it that way pure for a while. But then at some point, my parents wanted shelving in there that would have the stereo and books,
groovy
photo albums, in case my grandfather died and he wanted to leave us his photo albums of Hee Haw. We'd have a place to put them.
Oh, yeah.
So they put this home entertainment center with shelving on the wall, but they kept the red shag carpeting behind it.
That doesn't seem right.
No, it was very peculiar. And people would come over. Like, at this point, I'm finishing up high school, so I'm bringing people over, like dates and
stuff. I wouldn't have brought anyone over.
Girls would look at it, and they would just stare at it, and they go, was this an experiment? And I go, no, they're going with this. They're sticking with this.
There's a Pinterest page where people have, in the 70s, put shag carpeting on their wall.
Yeah. Yep. I know we weren't the only ones.
You were the only ones that I knew, personally.
I don't know anyone else. I've never met anyone else that had... even one shag carpeted wall, but we had two. We led the league.
I think you know, you were trendsetters.
I don't think people would do that today. I think like a carpet installer would talk you out of that today. Even at their own risk of losing business, I think a carpeting place would say,
I'm not
gonna
do that.
I don't think you want to do that. There's no reason for that.
It's so fascinating to me.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many people would look at it and have no... Like, a lot of times, your brain just automatically throws out a word or a phrase. People would just stare at it.
And their mouths would drop open?
Yes. They would just... Their mouths were agape. And they would just look at it and they go, who did this? Well, my mom and dad did this. Oh. All right. Yeah. All right.
I don't know. There is homeguides.com, how to glue... carpet to a wall, so people are still doing it.
I don't know if this was glued. For some reason, I remember carpet tacks being used.
Yeah, I'm sure, like a staple gun.
Yeah. Yeah, a big, thick staple gun. Next time Frank Fontana's in, let's ask him how much of his business is him putting shag carpet on people's walls and homes.
You know, acoustically, people do that in studios.
Right, to kill sound.
Was there some reason that was your dad also singing in any of these rooms?
God, no. We wouldn't get kicked out of the neighborhood. The family has shag carpeting and that guy's singing? We can't have this. Let's escort them to the city limits.
This is fascinating to me. I guess it would... I mean, accent walls, your mom was right. I mean, sometimes you have like a different color or it's stuccoed or
no,
something
I get
unusual.
That, but do you want to go that extreme? Don't you want to find something that's a little more subtle? I understand the purpose now of an accent wall.
Although do you have any accent walls?
No, we don't have any
in
our
house. I don't either.
Uh-uh.
But now I'm going to have one. Now I think I'm going to put one behind like our headboard, maybe make that a deeper color or something.
I think because you have a Victorian, I think that sort of house lends itself to that. Actually, when we were looking at houses, we would look at Victorians. They almost always had at least one or sometimes two or three walls that were a real vibrant color.
All of our walls are pretty vibrant.
Are they already?
Like blood red and hunter green.
All of our walls are white because I was told
If you're ever going to sell it, that's the way to do it.
Not just that, but it also makes things... And I know this because when we moved in, all the walls were painted different colors. And then Terry said right off the bat, we got to make it white. The house looked twice as big.
Yeah, I just was bored by that. And when we moved into this Victorian house, there was Victorian wallpaper in the front
room.
And not original or anything, but it was not my type.
Too dated looking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I took that off myself and started with the front room that was hunter green. And, you know, my family members, not Jim, but like my sister, it's too dark. There's not a lot of light in this room. And I'm like, well, Victorian houses had these deep, dark colors.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then like a blood red in the family room.
Oh. There was one Victorian house we looked at, and I loved this house so much. It was too big and too expensive for us. But each room had a different color theme, not just the bedrooms, but the hallways, the living room. Like every room, they picked a color and they stuck with it. So, I mean, orange is fine, but you don't want a whole room. Do you want a whole room that's just orange stuff?
You make it seem like it's weird to have each room be a different color.
Yeah, to the extreme, I don't know if I'm describing it properly. Nearly everything they could possibly put in that room was dark blue, was purple, was orange, was yellow, was red.
Monochromatic.
It was like being stuck in a box of crayons.
Yeah. Wow.
Which wouldn't be that bad. I can think of worse things than being stuck in a box of crayons.
I'm just thinking every room is a different color.
Oh, you've done that at your house?
Yeah, but I mean, like our bedroom is...
But you'll put something in, like if you have a room that's mostly red stuff and you find something
that's not just red. Right.
But these guys went all out. Everything was a certain color in that room.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. We will close things off next. Stick around. Judy, thank you. Oh, all right. More after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's so much fun to look at our text screen because right now, for this hour, our text and Steve Bertrand's text over at the Wintrust Business Lunch come in on the same number. So you can almost tell who's our who's. Steve's are all about, he's doing stuff about Roth IRAs, and all of our texts are about Paul Williams and crayons.
You know what? That makes me proud.
Me too. Me too. Wendy, you're gone between now and Thanksgiving, so I hope you guys have a great Thanksgiving.
You as well.
Judy will be in for you tomorrow, and Dane Neal will be in for you on Monday.
We'll have fun.
Yeah, it's going to be a good time. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Greatly appreciated. Tune in tomorrow for more fun and hijinks. Bye, Wendy.
See you, Bill.